You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
Gather round, boys and girls. Open up your ears, because it's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. M-A-R-C Miserable Marvelous. M-A-R-C Miserable Marvelous. M-A-R-C Miserable Marvelous. M-A-Y May. Music.
Welcome to the New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Was there ever a Daddy Longlegs man?
And Erica.
With great power comes great responsibility, and with great responsibility comes a shit ton of Spider-Man. Men? Mans? Spider-Mans? Spider-Men. Spider-Men.
And welcome to the end of Mark's Miserable Marvelous May Forever, where once again we are forcing Mark to watch Marvel related products
related shit.
Released by New World Pictures, because New World Pictures, of course, owned Marvel in the late 80s, so we have still tons of stuff. And last year we talked about Spider-Man, the Venom saga. This year we're going to talk about something different, Spider-Man. But joining us for this episode, we have a very special guest. She is a Bills fan. She is a performer. She's a head writer on My Adventures with Superman, and now the head writer and producer of My Adventures with Green Lantern, our friend Karen Gracchi. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Woo! Thank you for having me, Spidey friends.
So good to have you. So good to have you on here for, I think, something we can talk about, even though the title says we can't. I think it's time for us to talk about Spider-Man Secret Wars. But before we do, what is your history with Spider-Man? Do you have a history with Spider-Man?
You mean like personal?
Okay, I'm in now. Yeah, tell me more.
My husband, if he's not a beer shot. I mean, no. I mean, I love Peter Parker. I love the idea of Peter Parker, that it's the last thing he wants to have happen to him, happens to him, and whoever wants to get bit by a spider, nobody. And who doesn't love Tom Holland? Like, I love Tom Holland, and between him and Toby, I mean, I shouldn't probably say. Well, anyway, I love them all. And I gotta say, this was exciting for me because before this, I had not watched this. I had not watched these wars.
You didn't watch the Spider-Man animated series in the
1990s? I did not. And so I don't think I'm their target demo, wow. A. And B, I was probably already 100 by then, so I was probably, you know.
You weren't an 8-year-old boy in 1994?
As much as I want to be around for these OG Spider-Verse, no. I was not.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do get into a little bit of Spider-Verse, but really we also get into some secret warring, because we're going to talk about Spider-Man Secret Wars.
We sure are. Let me tell you. And if you love exposition...
It's lonely at the top. The Lizard! He always has a tale to tell. Well, if it isn't Venom... A dentist's worst nightmare. Let me give you a hand. Sorry, Dr. Octopus, wrong floor. I was looking for housework.
Web racer Spider-Man and action figures sold separately.
Did that kid say he was looking for housewares?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were kids super into housewares back then?
In the 90s, yeah.
That's where they put the Spider-Man figures, because they knew.
Oh. Put them where the moms are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where there's moms, right. There will be children. Yes.
Yeah. Spider-Man Secret Wars brought to you by characters. How many do you need to tell a story? Turns out, all of them. Any good story needs every character you can legally afford, mm-hmm. even brand new ones. So if you're ending a TV show about a single character after five seasons, there's only one thing you need to really close it out. Characters.
Yep. Yep. That tracks. That feels very familiar. Having just watched this feels very familiar.
You said that this was the end? This was the end of 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. There was a lot of exposition for us being at the very end of the story.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So true.
I mean, like any show, you never, I mean, I'm sure you know better than us, but you're not thinking it's the end, but then it is the end, you know, but they still were, I mean, boy, did they go for it. And and these episodes that are squeezed together to make Spider-Man Secret Wars. It's directed by Bob Richardson. He directed all the episodes, at least the animation for the whole series. Like I said, the batch comes from the last season of the show, the very last episodes. And Richardson said that it became a problem when the scripts arrived a little late. He said when the scripts did finally arrive, he told DC Animated, they were the most complex scripts we had to date. Those scripts went against everything we were trying to do in an effort to keep the workload on all of the production at a reasonable level. So, just throwing the writers under the bus.
Yeah, seriously.
Speaking of, it's written by Karen Milovich and John Semper. John Semper was the producer and the head writer of the series. Much like you're the head writer in your series, Karen.
Yeah.
And he is adapting the 1984 limited series called Secret Wars, which was written by Jim Shooter with art by Mike Zeck, Bob Layton, and John Beatty. Semper has a Facebook page which is dedicated to the Spider-Man animated series, so I'm going to pull some quotes from that. He said this about Secret Wars: "It was for me one of the creative high points of my series, and bringing it to life was a total thrill ride."
There you go.
We're going to find out why.
I mean, thrill ride is one way to describe it.
It was thrilling in that I never could take a breath. You know, it was so much
like
was going on,
like a ride. Yeah.
The voice cast: Christopher Daniel Barnes of The Little Mermaid and the Brady Bunch movies. He again continues as Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and also Spider Carnage, Armored Spidey, Six Armed Spidey, Octo Spidey, Powerless Spider-Man, and Scarlet Spider. Earl Bowen, who was in Battle Beyond the Stars, he was one of the aliens, and he was also in The Terminator. He is the Beyonder. And cast as Madam Web is Joan Lee, the wife of Stan Lee.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Yeah.
John Semper said on his Facebook page, he said, "Throughout the season, I decided to build up to this big challenge by having an ominous, almost supernatural creature warn Spidey of what was to come and guide him so that he'd be prepared. I chose as his mentor Madam Web, a strange elderly woman who sat in a giant metallic futuristic chair. She was a relatively obscure character who had appeared in the comic books only briefly. My then boss, Aviv Rod, wasn't too excited about bringing her to life on the TV screen. I can't make a toy out of an old broad," he grumbled. "But I stuck to my I stuck to my plan." Wow.
Huh. A feminist.
That's what I suspected. All about the art. Go on.
There was only one person I wanted to provide the voice for Madam Web: Joan Lee, the wife of Stan Lee. Joan graciously consented to perform the role, and she was, as I had expected, perfect.
I know we're not at final questions, but don't you guys think that Madam Web is like my dream role? You guys know me. Yeah. Like, that's my dream life.
I just
sit in a chair and I have all my glasses and I just tell people what to do and I sort of help and I sort of make things worse and I have powers, but sometimes they work, but they don't work if I'm too tired. Oh my God. I was like, I think if I was a superhero, I would be Madam Web.
I love this.
I love
for
to
you.
Sit down.
This is a great look for you. And when Spider-Man turns to you and is like, "What can you do about this?" She's like, I'm washing my hands of the whole business.
Yeah, I'm tired. I don't think I can solve it, even though I sort of had a hand in starting it. You're on your own, buddy.
Exactly.
I hope you learn a lesson.
She's out.
I was 50% of starting this, but I have no way of stopping it. Yeah. I have no clue.
I literally brought you here, but best of luck with the rest.
I can't. I don't know. I trusted Beyonder. He seemed like a good kid at the time.
Yeah, we circled the earth, apparently, together. But now his plan...
My bad. My bad.
Here's where you can watch Spider-Man Secret Wars. I guess YouTube is about the only place. I think it could be potentially on Disney Plus, but I wasn't able to double check that before we started recording. So good job, me. But you can look for it there or on YouTube. But it's time for us to talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is Spider-Man Secret Wars about?
Secret Wars is about Randolph and Mortimer Duke deciding to up the stakes and bet that Billy Ray Spider-Man can learn the art of leadership and build a team to stop evildoers that are destined to tank the orange juice concentrate futures market. And for all that, they bet $1.
I was about to say, who won the dollar? That's why Beyonder, he didn't win the buck. I guess Madam Web would have, but he didn't want to pay up. So he just took off. He takes off at the end because he's like, I don't want to pay you that dollar.
Just wrote down a little IOU.
Damn you, I'm out. Erica, what is Spider-Man Secret Wars about?
It's about a couple things. It's about a lot of things. It's about all the things. But for me, my takeaway was that Peter Parker has red-haired lady blindness, in that he will just, any old universe, any old Mary Jane, any old clone, he's in love.
Oh, sure.
He doesn't know. It doesn't matter. Gwen Stacy, stand aside. Doesn't hold a candle.
Yeah.
He's just locked in. Also he doesn't know when it's a clone and when it's Mary Jane. So
He also has very little game. They're like, you're in a different universe. He's like, Mary Jane, no, this isn't your universe. He's like, Mary Jane, I love you. Like, no, dude, calm down.
No riz.
But then in another universe, he marries and a clone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's made some wild choices.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have doubled down on that universe right there.
Yeah. Really glossed over that after dipping into
I think that was previous episodes that they were trying to catch us up a little
bit. Well, that's a pie that I want to get my foot in.
Yeah, we want to put our foot in that pie. And by that, we just mean that storyline. That's all we mean. Karen, what is Spider-Man Secret Wars about?
Spider-Man Secret Wars about is, of course, you know, a battle of good versus evil. But I would also say it's a deeper explanation into the naming process. You know, you've got a guy here named Spider-Man, and then you get a force of a guy from beyond. And so he's called the Beyonder. And then if we go further and things come out of the ground and they look like giant worms, guess what they are, friends? They're giant worms. Like, I just love that this is a literal dimension where there's a woman who looks like a black cat. You should guess what her name's going to be, you guys. It's all there for you. And you don't have to be a professional writer. You can just take a stab at it. And I almost guarantee you, even if you didn't know what the thing was, you'd say, what's that thing? There it is. It's really a naming convention is what's going on this one.
Yeah. They tried to make them easy to remember.
Yeah, oh, they did.
You know?
Oh, they did.
Mission accomplished.
What they helped us by making them the names easy to remember, but they gave us 325 names to remember, which that in and of itself was challenging.
Exactly. Yeah, they just try to keep it simple because you are going to have a challenge in front of you. It's a lot to remember. For me, this movie was about, you know, there are a lot of heroes in life. But the true heroes are actors. You know? Because they will lead you to meet your creator.
Right.
You know, they're the real heroes. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. You know? Scalability.
Yeah. I mean, that's what...
Yeah.
They got deep with this one. Here is the IMDb synopsis. We do not have a Letterboxd synopsis for this one. It doesn't exist on Letterboxd. Wow. So get on it, Letterboxd.
Come on.
So here, the IMDb synopsis is this. Peter Parker must once again save New York as Spider-Man. Nope.
No.
But this time he faces his biggest threat yet. multiple villains. I mean, yeah.
Wow. That's cursory at best. Yeah, I mean, cursory at best.
Yeah.
But I can't blame the writer of this, because they would be like, we need to write you, you need to write like a 2-sentence synopsis. He watched it and went, oof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So. This is like when you've written in everybody's yearbook already, and then you got a couple other people come up to you and they're like, could you sign? And you're like, I don't even know if I have it. I don't have it anymore. I don't know what else to say.
Stay cool. Have a good summer.
Yeah. Great knowing you in class that we had. You're out of it. You're just out. You're spent. Anyway, it ends this way. Join Peter in this realistically animated movie.
What?
Now that is what I just said kind of gets blown up, because I guess right there they were like, I'm sure it's realistic. I'm sure it's photorealistic. They've right. not watched this thing.
I feel like that was pulled from a book of adjectives without being relative to
right.
the noun it was describing.
And if he had seen it, he would know that we open with Spider-Man hurtling through space, like all good cartoons should start with. And and as Karen pointed out, just it seems to be in a constant dump of exposition. there's no end mm-hmm. to it. We're just introducing new stuff. You got to learn.
And we get no, he is hurtling through space. We don't know where he's coming from.
Nope.
We don't know how he's got into this position. He's surprisingly calm, given his circumstances.
And, no, God forbid that you don't have never seen any Superman before this, because you'd be like, hold up, there's a man that's a spider. Like, there's no time. Everyone assumes you know.
Yeah.
You know who he is. You know his deal. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Right.
They also are assuming that you watched the episode before,
yes.
because the episode before, that's when Madame Web shows up and then sends him there. That's the end of the previous episode. I had looked this up. I have not seen it, but I looked it up. But I thought, you know, watching it twice, I was like, you know, thought this was like a good improv scene. And Karen, we all met in Chicago doing improv. And you always want to start an improv scene in the middle, or oftentimes they try to tell you to do that. They also say that about writing. Try to start things in the middle. And I thought, hey, look at us. We're right in the thick of it. But actually, we're just picking up where the last episode. But they're like, you obviously saw the previous episode. We don't need to tell you anything. You saw it. I mean, clearly.
And I'd like to imagine that before this, he was sitting in a Burger King drive-thru with his mm-hmm. buds.
Mm-hmm.
He was placing an order for a BK broiler combo. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
Spidey's
like, whammo, he gets like, he
Spidey
gets
loves
sucked
that.
Out. BK broiler. He loves a good BK broiler.
Loves it.
So,
and they were like, we should go to McDonald's. He's like, no, it's flame broiled here, dude.
And he disappears from the front seat and his buds, because you know Spidey's buds, they didn't bring their wallet. And they're just like, oh, dude. How are we going to pay for this, man?
Spidey's
like, that would have been the good.
That would have been a great episode.
Yeah, you cut back at the very end of the movie. They're still in the drive-thru, just still waiting for them.
Right, they're still, like an airplane ending. They're still sitting there.
I found
like,
a quarter underneath the seat. They're trying to get the change to pay the bill.
The theme song is that song that's like, Spidey's buds, sitting in the drive-thru, Spidey's buds.
You know, that song we all know.
Oh, my God.
It, like, plays at the end credits.
So good. Really brings it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, totally does. Yeah. Totally does. Anyway, he's hurtling through space. He's going to be tested by the Beyonder. He was chosen by Madame Web. Who are these characters, you might ask? What is he being tested for? No worries, because the Beyonder is going to explain it all.
Who? What are you?
No doubt I startle you. Let me assume a more familiar form. Think of me as one from beyond. Call me the Beyonder. My servant, known to you as Madame Web, and I are beings who can take many forms. We have traveled a long way and have seen many curiosities, but none as perplexing as a planet we stumbled upon called Earth. Our scrutiny has revealed much about humans that we don't understand. The most intriguing are your concepts of good and evil. I felt they warranted further study and observation. You are obviously an agent for good. Therefore, you have been chosen.
Chosen? For what?
For the ultimate test of good against evil.
Yes, I want to know which one is stronger.
You're crazy. There's no way you can do that.
Oh, you can do that, Spider-Man. And you do it by finding a planet that has never known evil, and you introduce evil to that planet. Are we having fun yet, kids? Isn't this good time?
Yeah. Also, real quick, like, you've traveled around. You were interested in Earth's... You've seen a lot of curiosities. You thought good versus evil was the weirdest thing you saw on Earth? Okay.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's not...
I'm saying there's probably some way kinkier shit, Madam Web and Beyonder. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's weirder stuff. There's weirder stuff. All right? Was Peter the first person you called up? Be honest. Or did you call somebody weirder?
And they never really pay off on an understanding of good versus evil.
No.
Like, that that never... There's not a speech at the end of, you know, now that I've seen the good versus evil, blah, 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 blah. It never happens. So, don't get... In other words, listener, don't get hung up on that part of the, of the plot. Well,
Don't worry. They don't bring it up again. They barely bring it up.
People, like, those aliens, like, they were living the best possible existence. Like... Looked like they had healthcare covered and like they were just frictionless lives. And then they're just a prop in this game.
Yeah.
And they really set up that first episode to be like, well, you got to save these people. And it's like, okay, do we ever see them again? Was there closure?
We do, but they're like dressed up as soldiers. Yes. They're part of that resistance that happens later on. And they're now fighting because in a year's time.
Right.
They've learned how to fight. They have built an army. They have
learned
tactical strategies. They're highly impatient.
Yes.
They're like, hey, give us an hour. We can start your war. They're like, we don't have an hour. We will not wait. Yeah. We need a ticking clock in this episode.
What happened to restoring that peaceful life? What happened to, like, giving them back what they have? It's all gone for no reason.
They can't because... The evil ones have been planted there to destroy it.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
The evil doers that Beyonder uses to destroying it, and that is Doc Ock, of course, the Spider-Man villain. Dr. Doom, a Fantastic Four villain. Okay, that's weird. Alistair Smythe, okay, fine. He was in Spider-Man Venom Saga, so okay, great. The Red Skull, a Captain America villain, but okay. And then Spider-Man gets to choose his companions to fight alongside him, so he chooses Fantastic Four because, you know, Dr. Doom. Then Iron Man because I guess he's been on the show before, so why not? Then Captain America because Red Skull. And then he needs a powerful hero who can tackle the all-powerful Beyonder, and he chooses Storm? Don't get me wrong, I love Storm, but why didn't you think Doctor Strange or something? I mean, Beyonder can teleport
people.
They have
beef. I felt like they had beef.
Maybe.
And he just wanted some, like, really solid, good-looking ladies on the team.
He was like, she controls the weather. That should be able to stop Beyonder.
Yeah.
His
awesome.
His power seems infinite, but okay. A cloudy day can ruin it for anyone, I suppose, you know?
That's right. Nothing more powerful than a thunderstorm, you know? Sometimes if you need a clean slate, the rain can make you feel renewed, and sometimes, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this. But
well,
your choices, Peter.
I have to say, though, like, when he was listing all those people, like, if I did that in a script, unless all those characters had been there earlier in the season at some point, this is a character design team nightmare because they have to do all the designs for all these characters. So I could see why you were saying all those criticisms earlier, Ryan, because, like, this is for a design department to be like, oh, wait, who else? Who else are we designing? Who else? Like... It's a lot of work. Like, if I turned in the script, everyone would be like, hold up. You can have, like, two.
Right, right. Well, I will say, right. I will say they did have an X-Men series that was going on at Fox around that time, and that's where this was airing on Fox. I think they did have a Fantastic Four series, so I think that they did have most of these characters.
Good,
Beyonder,
good.
Though, Madam Web, no. They, you know, so there were a couple that are brand new, but a lot of them, I think, were ones that they introduced. At the same time, they still, like, tell the Fantastic Four origin story.
Yeah.
They still... But yeah, it's a lot. I don't think that they were fresh designs, though.
Okay, that's good.
This whole setup also plays very much like a video game, where we've brought all these bad guys, and you have to stop all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick a team, but you can only pick a limited number of people. And if this was a video game, this is the part where I would have been just hitting X, 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 X to try to skip over this whole part to just get to the first action scene.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we going through all this backstory? I don't need any of this. Let's get to the fighting.
Yeah, well, they do because, of course, they got to battle these villains on this distant planet. And they have to eventually start fighting. And they're put to the test against the Lizard because he's right there and he gets in there. But he gets knocked out really quickly because, like, numbers. Like, what were you doing, dude? You attacked, like, the whole team. Like, they have way more people.
Yeah.
And then eventually they turn him so he's on their side. I'm like, you guys should kick the crap out of these guys. You have way more people than the evil side. I feel it's almost unfair. I don't know that Beyonder didn't set limits. Maybe he set it only on the computer. But he's like, okay, yeah, we have Dr. Doom, so I'm going to take all of the Fantastic Four. I was like, well, that's a lot. Like, you're not doing one for one here. We're just getting a bunch of people. This is like, you have these choices. Well, my choice is four people. Like, no, wait, hold on.
That's why when you start a new video game, choose the easy setting so you can get as many people on your team as possible. Don't start on hard. Start on easy.
Yeah, you gotta learn the game.
Come on.
Learn the game.
Yeah.
Also, it's a secret war, but no less than 27 universes and 56 characters, give or take, know about it. But it's secret. But all these people know about it. Oh, and the people that they were on their planet and universe and Earth with when they were, like, sucked away or whatever, they know about it too, but...
There could have been a lot more shh going on. Nobody, you know, they could have been like, let's all just agree to shh. Yeah, there wasn't enough of that, I think.
Keep it under wraps.
That's what the people do on that poor, peaceful planet that they completely destroyed. Like, man, things have never been the same since shh, shh, shh. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
That was
just between us.
That was a rough year and maybe a day or two. Okay?
No, don't say it.
They do leave the lab and they are attacked by giant worms, as Karen brought up. Is this Arrakis? Is that where they are, Mark? I
wrote that down because they say, what planet are we on? I don't know what planet we're on. You're on Arrakis. That is exactly what you're on. It's a desert planet with spice worms. So you're on Arrakis. This should be of no surprise.
You didn't think they were on the planet or that's the place where Beetlejuice goes? No. Where the sandworms pop up? Like when he gets into trouble and then he goes to the sandworms spot?
Yeah.
Could have been that.
Yeah, they should have crossed over and had Beetlejuice pop in and be like, hey, I'm here to help.
They'd be like, that's just one too many. One too many.
That's where they said enough. Okay?
They drew the number.
We're not building Beetlejuice. Okay, we have enough to do in this episode. That's insane.
But for a minute there, I thought Beetlejuice was on this episode. So nice job, Erica.
Thank you.
Michael Keaton off the charts. We have one more addition to the hero team as well.
I just got a cease and desist from, just got the email. Just got a cease and desist from Michael Keaton. Told me to stop. Told me to back off.
Yeah.
That guy's really
too good. Too good.
Yeah. He's on top of it. He gets into stuff before it even gets
out.
He's
always watching. Yeah. That's what they say about Michael Keaton. He is litigious.
He's always watching.
He is so litigious. My God.
He's so always litigious.
So lawyered up.
He never stops suing people.
Yeah.
We get the new addition of the team is not the Lizard, though also the Lizard. We get Black Cat. Why? Why do we also need Black Cat?
She was busy.
She had stuff going on. She is pissed off.
Stuff going on. Yeah.
We're going to find out what was going on here in this clip.
Why did you bring me here?
I needed your support, Cat. You know how I think. You know how I like to operate. You and I work like a team. I just thought
that I'd make you feel better. Why do you always think you're the only one who's important? I left two young heroes back on Earth who need me too. Do you think it was fair to them to snatch me away just to hold your hand? Spider, won't you ever grow up?
Whoa. What a needy guy Spider-Man is. He brought her, not seriously, for her skills, but like, because he was like, I don't know, you kind of, you know, you'll just make me feel better about me.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa, whoa, yeah. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
If only he had other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she was the first superhero that I've seen in one of these where, I mean, superheroes get thrown into these crazy situations, and I have to imagine, if you're a superhero or you're an evildoer, you're going to make a chicken pot pie once in a while, right? You're gonna need to mow the lawn. And you get pulled into this, you're going to think, I was midway through mowing my lawn. And I wasn't able to do that for a couple of weeks. It's too high. The HOA is on my ass.
Yep.
This is terrible timing. And she's the first one to introduce that real world logic to one of these situations. So right out of the gate, she's my favorite character.
Oh wow. Okay, well, because of course she was teaming up with her usual two buddies, Blade and Morbius.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that, Ryan. Like, are they normally working together?
No.
Or
Morbius the living vampire and Blade the daywalker and Black Cat the thief, the jewel thief, mm-hmm, who has powers of luck. Okay.
Well, everybody else was being used. Everybody else was already in the episode. Yeah. Like, who do we have left?
Yeah, they're like, we have Black Cat already, so we got to just use her. And she was just helping them with their vampire problems, because that's what Black Cat always does.
They looked up at the wall of headshots in the writer's room and were like, who we got? Who's left? Who can come in? Yeah.
Now what you were saying about not being able to get too many drawn, that makes a lot of sense. Now they're just like, these are the characters we got. Who makes any sense? I guess Black Cat. One thing her inclusion serves is that she does get a lot of the guys around her horny. Particularly Captain America. Did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm. Black Cat and I will take up the rear.
Oh! Yeah, you will.
Whoa.
Man.
Whoa.
Man, America's hero. What is happening?
He wastes no time.
He was like,
to pull her away from the team and be like, we're a duo. We're a team.
If his eyes could have bulged out and was like, wah, 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 he was like, mum, mum, mum. His like jaw hits the table. And then his tongue like rolls out in a really long way. It was like, yikes, Captain America. This just like he was in the comic book. Horny as hell. Back in Evil Central, Alistair Smythe has been busy and he's working with Red Skull, and he's got to show the Red Skull his new buddy. He's got to show him his latest creation. His latest creation is
the Silver Skull Hunter.
Yep. Wait. I'm sorry. What?
Hold on. One more time. Yeah, I think I got it.
The sign must call.
Sign must blow.
I think I'm catching it.
One more time. I think we got this time.
The sign must call.
The spice must flow. Okay. So they are an Arrakis.
What did he say there? I could not figure it out.
He doesn't even know. He's just like, basha, basha, ba.
I think he eventually says spider skulls. I think that's what he's saying, because he's basing them on the Red Skull, but I could not understand him at all. Anyway, with Storm helping the Resistance forces, talking to our peaceful people, Spider-Man enters the code for the
Silver Skull Hunter.
Yep, exactly. And Cap and Black Cat nearly take down Red Skull and Doc Ock, but we're not done yet with the episode, so they escaped. Do you need, yeah. Have you ever done that where you're just like, oh, they fight, but then like, I don't know, they gotta leave. Have you ever done that in an episode, Karen?
I gotta look back. I want to say no.
Yeah, because there's a comic book logic to that where you're just like, oh no, they get away in their flying jet, and then you're just like, to where and what, huh? And you're like, oh well, yeah. We couldn't. It's like, all right, I guess, yeah. For later. The Black Cat then plants a smooch on Spidey, a plot point that is sure to matter until the very end of this episode. It is going to make a giant impact. This is going to be huge, right, guys?
Interesting.
I mean, they kissed. This is massive. Yeah. This is massive.
Well, she kissed him.
Right.
Which we know he doesn't like, because he will only kiss when red hair is involved.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter doesn't kiss unless red hair is involved.
Crucial point. Right. And I think at that point, Black Cat is gone, right? From the rest of the whole thing. That was it.
Yeah.
He brought her in just to be like, you make me feel comfortable. I don't know.
All tingly. Yeah, make all tingly. Me feel tingly.
Thanks for the kiss. Bye. She's out. Then we move on to the Fantastic Four, who are taking down Doom because, you know, balance. That's what they do.
Yep.
This is what happens. Plot twist. Doom has used his cell splitter gunner thingy to cure Ben Grimm so he can now transform into the Thing whenever he wants. But also Doom uses the gun to bond the Beyonder to himself, and it becomes an all-powerful being, and then takes a mountain and he stomps it on top of Spidey and the rest of the heroes. And that is it. That is the end of the episode. That's it. It has to be the end because they had a giant mountain crush them into little bits. No, there's not. That's not it. They're not. They didn't die. Oh. Oh, okay.
I mean, in fact, they say we can't have this. That we can't have this fall on top of us. Or
what's he gonna do? Throw a mountain crush at us? And then he did. And then they were like, ugh, that was a bummer for like 2 seconds. Okay.
Rough.
All right.
Yeah. They won't remember after the commercial. It's fine. It's fine.
It was like Iron Man was in peril for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh no, I can't. My suit needs to recharge. Don't worry. I'll fix your entire suit. I'm unfamiliar with your armor, but I'm a scientist, so that means I can do anything. With my lizard hands.
And then I thought, right, with my little lizard hands.
Well, that was demonstrated earlier.
Yeah.
He was playing computer panels like that, keyboard and big. Like, you know, he's just like going for it all. Little portions of it are lighting up. And you're like, wow, there's not even words on that thing. And he's figuring it out. God bless him. God bless his little lizard brain.
They have no idea he just pressed demo and the keyboard just lighting up on its own. Like, he really is a master of that thing. Oh, I can't do anything with these lizard fingers. I hope I don't have to fix intricate wiring in somebody's battle suit.
After giving us then like the saddest, like, I'm Iron Man, I'm just an invalid under this suit. I was like,
I know.
Also a millionaire, but yes, an invalid. But also you're very rich, so
did anyone
sorry if we aren't all stopping to help.
Did anyone recognize the voice of Iron Man, by the way?
Yeah, it was Tony Stark.
It was
Robert Hayes.
Robert Hayes of Airplane.
From Airplane?
Oh, look at Mark!
And take this job and shove it. Of course, I'm sure everybody is also.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Knows his whole filmography, of course.
Robert Hayes, good for you, dude.
In reality, I'm very much an invalid. My suit keeps me alive.
I'm sorry. I never would have guessed.
Perhaps I can reroute the circuitry and bypass his flight systems. That might work.
Good. Do it. How much time do you need?
An hour.
Doc, you only have 30 minutes.
So, Spider-Man then tries to warn Doom about his new powers. with Beyonder's powers. The Thing takes care of it for him, uses the splitter gun on Doom, releases the Beyonder, who then tells him they have survived the Secret Wars.
You have won. Good has triumphed over evil. You will all be returned to your rightful places on Earth, and you will retain no memory of this event.
And I'm gonna lose the ability to turn into Ben Grimm?
Yes. All must be exactly as it was.
Well, easy come, easy go.
So that's it, huh? All that for nothing?
No, Spider-Man. I can't begin to fathom who or what the Beyonder is, but I do know who we are. We're heroes to the core, and in this war, we acted magnificently. That is what matters most.
So true, Storm. Well, that's it. Karen, thank you so much for being on this episode. It was so great having you as a guest. Wait, there is more? Wow.
So much more.
Wow.
So much more.
Wow. Okay. What's weird is that at the end, the Beyonder, or Doom, with his Beyonder powers, has Spider-Man up against a wall, and it's the Thing that saves everybody.
Yeah.
He gets zero credit for it.
Yep.
He's actually the hero of it. Well, not really, because we're going to meet the hero in a bit, because now we're in Spider Wars. Spider-Man is sent to yet another world because I guess this is just what the Beyonder and Madame Web do. They're like, you just go to place, planet to planet, timeline to timeline, and you fix stuff. That's what, because we
want For their enjoyment. They're just floating around space looking for a good time. I want to be her.
Yeah.
She's floating around space gaslighting people looking for the next, like, thing that will float her boat. Oh my God!
Yeah. Was,
if I'm not turned into Madame Web in the afterlife, God.
Was there cable out so that week? And they were like, "I have no TV this week. I need something."
She's just like, so bored. Let's just go ruin a couple hundred characters' lives. Make them question if they're good or not. Come on.
Modern day billionaires.
Yes.
Playing with them.
Having fun.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, living it.
Before anyone says, why is there so much stuff in this episode? It was called Secret Wars. So we got to get to another one. Otherwise, it would have been called Spider-Man Secret War. No, we got to have a second.
I missed that nuance.
Doesn't it seem like they wrote them all as separate episodes, and then someone was like, hey, we got a movie. We're going to air it as a movie. And it's like, movie?
Yeah.
And it's like, very thread-like connection between
each one. Well, I know how we'll connect it. Just have Peter record it all so that it's not secret. Like,
what? And he'll be in all of them.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, brother.
So Spider-Man's sent to another world, and there's a bunch of Spider-Mans in this reality, but it's including a Spider-Man who is bonded with Carnage, and then a bunch of other Spider-Mans, but it's the Spider-Man we started with that has to lead all the Spider-Mans because he won the Secret War, and those are the rules. Okay?
He's the Peterest Peter that Petered. Out of all
the and then I think a lot of the Spider-Mans in this episode are going to go back to their individual universes and have a little chat with themselves. Like, how come I wasn't the most Peter Parker-y of all the Peter Parker Spider-Mans? Like, I need to up my game. Because this one weird dude who is really weird around women.
Except for the one super handsome, rich Peter Parker who cuts his hair into, like, a square... Mm-hmm. Kind of blonde situation.
Oh,
flat top. Yeah. He's not questioning anything. He's like, I should be there.
Yeah.
He's going back
to be the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy must be my favorite.
Needless to say, this is when the movie turns into kind of a lost episode of Rick and Morty.
Sure. Yeah. The inspiration's right here. In this universe, there are different things are different for Spider-Man. Not only this Spider-Man bonded with Carnage, but also he's enlisted the help of Green Goblin, Kingpin, and Hobgoblin. They've destroyed all of New York. Did we recognize the voice of the Hobgoblin?
I did not.
It was voiced by Mark Hamill.
Oh.
Wow.
You can have a little bit of a Joker-esque tinge to his voice.
Goblin, this spider creep must be the other one the boss warned us about.
So how do you defeat Carnage Spider-Man? You didn't take that splitter gun with you. You should have taken it from the Secret Wars. You could have taken it right out. Mm. Perfect gun.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect. But you don't have it, so he has to use the ultimate weapon of the ultimate universe that they are in.
Peter, it's me, Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben?
I've been told everything.
Is it really you?
Did you think things were going to be easy, boy? Huh? Did you?
But I can't do it, Uncle Ben. You know my rotten luck.
Nonsense. Boy, good or bad luck is nothing but the right or wrong mix of opportunity, preparation, and confidence. Now, I know you're prepared because I had a hand in that. We're looking square at opportunity. I know you've had a very bad time, but in this dimension, I'm here for you. And no matter what, I love you.
I love you too, Uncle Ben. I love you too.
Yeah, can you be evil when you remember fishing with Uncle Ben? That's impossible.
No, impossible. You
can't. It's impossible.
Also, just when you think, like, there's not going to be any more characters introduced. Fucking Uncle Ben. They pull out, they dig up Uncle Ben. My goodness. I lost it at that point. I lost it. That's when I was like, Ryan, this is nuts. This is nuts.
That's a character that they might have had. I mean, they might have had him already designed from, like, flashbacks, but that's not a common character for the series because, of course, it was Aunt May. So,
yeah.
They had introduced Uncle Ben. So, yeah, everybody was like, man, these episodes, you're killing us.
Only little Ryan's buying the Uncle Ben collector figurine.
100%. Oh, my God. You get the Spider-Man, but you're like, where's the Uncle Ben? You gotta have the Uncle Ben and the Aunt May.
They're like, we already made that old broad. Might as well throw the old bag in there, too. Yeah,
throw the old man.
Yeah. That's what we do. We'll just take the old Aunt May knockoffs, the ones that didn't pass.
Yeah.
They didn't pass inspection. We'll just put some weird glasses and put them on a little crazy green spider-like chair, and that's Madam Web. Carnage Spider-Man teleports himself off to another world while the non-powered Spider-Man is dropped off in his own dimension by our Spider-Man, only to learn that the reason he has no powers is, see, he is an actor playing Spider-Man, so I'm assuming Nicholas Hammond? Anyone?
No? I don't know.
Spider-Man?
Don't know.
The live-action series, the 1970s Spider-Man? No? Just me?
Mm.
Okay.
No.
Well, okay. Well. All right. Well, someone will get it. Black Cat, where are you? You always make me feel good. You get my obscure references. Yeah, you will. Anyway, actor Spider-Man introduces Spider-Man, regular Spider-Man, to Stan Lee as Stan Lee. Oh. And then connects Madam Web. She collects Spider-Man for the next adventure, but he meets Stan Lee first. Stan Lee meeting the character. And for this whole scene, again, John Semper talked about it on his Facebook page. He said in the very last episode, which this was, after Spidey had fought the great challenge and conquered, I wanted Spider-Man to meet Stan Lee, his creator, face-to-face. I made sure that for a brief moment, Stan, who also shared the screen with Madam Web, so I'd be able to write a playful bit of dialogue in which they expressed a mutual fascination with each other. Watching Joan and Stan record this brief exchange was, for me, one of the supreme highlights of working on the series. I shot my own home video that day, and these still images here that he posted on Facebook are freeze frames from that session, the very last recording session of the series. Because they recorded the session.
This story is.
Oh, Karen, how do you record your shows? Do you guys record it like in all together, the cast, or individually?
No, individuals, all individuals. We never have ever written together.
Apparently, this show actually they recorded all together.
Oh my gosh.
What? Yeah.
That's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be very hard for us to do because now you're like, for every actor who plays a role, you can also, they can also do two other roles, you know, for the same mm-hmm. price. So you have, you'd have people playing multiple characters and would have to switch gears like immediately mid scene. That would be very difficult.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Yeah. But that,
the Walla would, the Walla would be just so
I
good,
mean,
though.
It would be real Walla. Not just one guy going, hey, hey, look, hey, what, hey, you know.
Because everyone, before they leave, they got to do their Wallas. What do we need? What do we need?
Exactly.
Oh my God. I spoke to Patrick Labrateau, who an actor who was in we spoke to on this podcast, who was in Heathers, but he also did the voice of Flash Thompson on the series. So I had a little interview with him, and he told me a little bit about the show. We will probably post this as a article on our website, so check it out there. Now it's time for Erica.
Oh, is it time? Is it time for that?
Yes.
Is it time for the second half of this episode where I introduce things yes. we loved and things we hated?
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we love and things we hated about Spider-Man Secret Wars. Mark, what did you love?
I actually loved the fact that there are so many characters.
Wow.
Because it allowed my brain at a certain point to just turn off. And I there was a point that I wasn't really
like,
even paying attention
to the
plot. Stop
writing notes. Just, you're like,
it's just, there's no more notes to write.
Too many
I cannot
people.
Keep up.
Yeah.
There's so many characters. I'm just here for the ride because I don't know who is causing who to have what problem. Then we get multiple Spider-Mans and they each have their own distinct personality. And they have their own distinct backstory. And I don't really care about any of them. But it was like, sure.
Except for actor Spider-Man. You're pretty much into that guy. You're like, this guy's got
actually,
something.
I'm,
He's
I'm
got something. I don't know what it is.
Flat Top Spider-Man was the one that I liked the most.
Yeah.
He was the one that I feel like he was one of Spidey's bros.
He was like a bit of an asshole. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if Peter Parker was like a rich asshole, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. He's the most down for a BK broiler, so I kind of wanted to hang with him for a bit. But
he was like, "I own this Burger King."
Yeah, my dad owns the franchise. I'm gonna inherit all this.
He's like a regional manager, and so he owns like four of them. But I am being serious. At first, I was like, "More characters? Wait, now there's more characters?" At a certain point, I was like, "Man, this movie's gonna have them all."
Yeah.
Like, get them all in here. Let's do it.
Get them in there.
And I liked that it was that ambitious. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, if you're one of the characters who didn't make it in these episodes or into this movie, I mean, were you even any good in the series?
Yeah,
I mean, clearly, you weren't worth including.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't good enough.
Yeah, fucking Morbius beat you. Okay.
Yeah.
Morbius made it in.
Yeah, we got Morbius
you.
In there.
So
good for him.
Sorry.
Really good for him.
Yeah, you know what? Cyclops eat my butt because Morbius was in this. Okay.
Yep. So true. Erica, what did you love?
Man, I love that Mark loved how many characters there were. Is that legal for things that we loved? Is that legal?
Yeah. That's legal.
I loved it. It became like hilarious to me how many Spider-Men there were. I just thought it was hilarious. I think there could have been infinite. I was like, just bring in endless Spideys. Bring in like old man Spidey. Like, I'm Grandpa Spidey. Like, why not? Just have all of the Spideys. So I thought that was ridiculous and fun. And I loved animated Stan Lee. Because then I was like, okay, Uncle Ben, we did it. We had all the characters. And then when it was like, I know who can help us, Stan Lee, I was like, holy shit, we're still not done with characters. We are in we're in 1 hour, 32 minutes in a 1 hour, 35 movie. And we're bringing in another character. Like, why the hell not? Why not?
And Stan Lee's got to be a brand new, this is the only time he shows up in the series. So that's a brand new character creation.
It was terrific.
So.
Yeah, that's what I loved.
Karen, what did you love?
I love that it really was so action-packed. Like, at the beginning, when there was, like, so much exposition, I was like, oh, boy, there's going to be a lot of standing around and talking, which is, like, death. You know, you want to have all that exposition over action. But then there really was a lot of action. Like, if you liked action, it, like, there is a shit ton of it. And I really liked that. And I love how expressive all the characters are. There's a lot of expressive animation going on. And, you know, I made a joke earlier that they do say a lot, like name themselves specifically. But they did do some backstory, which helps with the learning curve with Marvel. Because I feel like as someone who came to Marvel later in life, like there is a learning curve. And if you don't know, you can't just start anywhere. You know what I mean? But like here, like you said, they gave you like, oh, this is all about the Fantastic Four. If you didn't know before, you're going to know right now. So they did a really good job on that front. Aside from, you know, Exposition City. But I thought, but for action and packing a lot in, they got their dollars. They spent their dollars here. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I loved, like everyone else, I just loved how packed with stuff this whole movie was. Just packed with stuff.
Yeah.
But if we can switch to things we hated, I kind of hated how stuffed with stuff this episode was.
I don't buy that. I don't believe that, Ryan. I don't believe you. I don't think you have a limit for what is too much stuff, so I disagree with what you hate. I know it's your opinion, but you're wrong. Okay? You're wrong.
Well, then let's go over to Mark. Mark, what did you hate?
I hated, so when Red Skull and is it Octoman?
Oh, what, God, who, Mark Doc Ock. Jeez.
Oh, God. It's Dr. Octopus.
He's a Dr. Mark. Doctor... He didn't go to medical.
Okay.
It's a doctor of octopusology.
Yes.
When Dr. Octopus and Red Skull, they hop in their jet and they take off and fly away, they didn't go through their pre-flight checklist.
No.
Oh, my God. And
I'm sorry, but that is the most dangerous thing that anyone did in this entire episode, this entire movie.
Seatbelts, Red Skull! You don't go through that pre-flight checklist.
There's a whole... You know, are the Magnetos on? Are they not on? Turn the left on, turn the right on. I mean, there's a lot you got to go through, and they skipped it and threw caution to the wind. I fear for them. I do.
Yeah.
Fair.
See how I could see you get very upset about that, for sure.
I could see that.
Sitting there, arms crossed. What? Erica. Erica, what did you hate?
I think I hated that there weren't Infinity Spideys. They're just bring them all out.
You could have had like 30 or 40 of them.
Yeah, why not? Just, I mean, at this point,
again, all new character creations, all of those, because those were not in other episodes.
Yeah.
Karen, what did you hate?
What I hated was I wanted it to just be a movie and not three episodes.
It was actually five episodes, if you can believe it.
I mean, that's
five. Yeah.
Five.
I wanted resolution for that peaceful planet. Is what I really wanted. Like I was like, they figured it out.
Yeah.
They've done what we've all been trying to do, and they just ruined it for some shenanigans. Ugh. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sad indictment that like, oh, these people have figured out paradise. They know how to have a perfect society. And we can ruin it in 1 year with just a few bad apples.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's wow, that's probably, that's the darkest thing that this episode presents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's switch to favorite scenes. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
I think... I mean, there were some really good fighting scenes, and I don't. Sure, I feel like if I pick out one, then I'm not giving enough credit to the others. And I think all of them deserve a participation award for being
all the
a really
fighting,
good fighting
scenes.
Scene.
Fighting scenes,
so
you
all
get
fighting
a ribbon.
Scenes. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really good fighting scenes. So let's go with the fighting scenes because at the and I mean this in all honesty because I'm known to lie on this podcast is. That
the biggest liar in the whole show, for sure.
It's a problem. Sometimes I don't even know that I'm lying. But it is there is a diverse number of set pieces and different kinds of fighting scenes. And they really run the table from fighting worms to fighting each other to, you know, everything in between. It's so, yeah, the fighting scenes. Those were my favorite scene.
Yeah. Erica, got it. Your favorite scene.
I'm torn because I feel like I have two favorite scenes. The one favorite scene I have is that when the Chosen, the leader, Peter Parker, goes to solve this, to fix this, and he meets up with Gwen Stacy, and she reveals that she has, like, a tracker, like a tracking beacon or whatever, and that's how she found him. But she just plays it off of, like, yeah, I have this tracking beacon. And I'm like, you have a tracking beacon? And she's like, I don't know, girlfriends know these things. I'm like, girlfriends know these things and tracking beacon? Those are different. Mm-hmm. That's different from being like women's intuition to like, I've been tracking you on this, tracking your every move. That was a favorite scene. Because again, he has like no reaction to that. He's like, huh, have you seen Mary Jane? Like, just doesn't bother him. Just doesn't bother him at all. And then I mentioned it earlier, but my second favorite scene would then be in the 11th hour, the introduction of animated Stan Lee, who just does a little ride along, gets left on the roof and makes a joke about it that maybe he'll wait for Fantastic Four to come get him. I just was like, aw, what a treat.
It was good stuff. It was good stuff. Karen, your favorite scene?
I think my favorite scene is any time where multiple Spideys are on screen together arguing and or discussing, or one Spidey being like, I'm the leader of us. Because I don't think we have that in real life in any capacity other than like going to a family reunion or like being like, she looks a lot like you, or going to a high school reunion being like, you look exactly the same. So that to me would blow my mind a little bit if I saw a lot of versions of myself. And that to me is always fun when it's on screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. What like the three Spider-Mans all coming together in the last Spider-Man movie.
Exactly.
Everyone loved it, even...
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves it for a reason.
Including Mark, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
It's worth seeing, Mark. It really is.
Yeah, it is. That's a good one.
Mike, you'll love it. Trust me.
Yeah. Mark will hate it, but Mike will love it.
Mike's open to the idea.
Yeah. My favorite scene was Blade and Morbius. I mean, what is going on?
Oh gosh, I knew you were gonna say that. And when I saw that, and then Blade and Morbius, and then like Blade's mom,
yeah, right?
Oh yeah,
I mean the first Blade movie, everybody, the first Blade movie, it's his mom. So come, I mean, yeah, but this one, his mom is like fully like become evil vampire queen. I was like,
yeah,
give me that full episode, I am down.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
even right? That even that combo of Blade, Morbius, and Black Cat? Why? I don't know, but let's see the three of them fight all these vampires. I don't know why they're doing
it.
One of the three is very much in danger of the vampires because the other two are already vampires, so they're not going to be bitten. But you brought a third person who's very much in danger. I'm not sure why you brought her. It seems like a bad strategic decision.
Seems reckless. Seems reckless. And then Morbius just being like, we have a connection. Like, ew, Morbius.
We just know each other. We have like, he has the tracer. I know, I have the tracer. I know exactly where she is.
Yes. He's that universe's Gwen Stacy. He's like, I know where she is. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I love that scene. Speaking of, as we jump into final questions, speaking of Black Cat, did she need to be here at all, do you think?
No. And she told us right from the get, I had stuff to do.
Right. Yeah.
I'm busy.
Very busy. And that would have been a fun cut to is the guys she left behind being like, oh, great. Now they're just dead. Just straight up dead. Like, this is
just like body
this
pieces.
Gloves on your hands, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're decapitated and just like, their arms and legs are just...
I told you I had things to do.
Blade's mom was like, ah, if only Black Cat had been here, I wouldn't have been victorious, but I was. By the end of our many episodes, you gotta ask, what's next for the Beyonder?
I like that he can take all these forms. Like, what other forms can he take? Like, it's a, you know, he's like, I'll turn into a form more amenable to you. And I'm like, oh, what else is in your bag of tricks?
I love, though, that that form was like aging 70s rock star.
Exactly.
Right. You're like, oh, cool. You're kind of like a quasi solo era Michael McDonald. This is okay. I'm feeling much more calm. You somehow like stole Captain EO's outfit, but like it's still working. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's from Superman 2 or Superman 3.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Just the white prototype of those outfits. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
If Madam Web can just teleport people to jail, why not just do that?
Right. Do you know how exhausting it is to do that? She did it one time, and she was super sleepy.
That's why she needed to be in a chair.
She's like, ugh. I couldn't possibly transport any more criminals.
Also, how does Stan get down from that roof? Do we know? I mean,
Fantastic
any
Four.
Other way?
He took the stairs. He was just being silly. He took the stairs. He was like,
"It's time for time to get your steps in, buddy."
Yeah.
For the Fitbit of the early 90s. Which was a journal where you wrote down all your steps. All right. Well, let's get into some quick research. As we mentioned, this stitches together episodes that were already in sequence that were released originally in the Spider-Man animated series in November 1997 to January 1998. Why is it still relevant to us since New World was already sold? They'd sold Marvel by then as well? Well, because they, that is to say New World and Marvel Films, had sold all 65 episodes of the Spider-Man animated series to Fox, their eventual owner, in the very beginning. That's why Marvel Films... It was actually a division of New World Entertainment. It was the title card is still there at the end of all of the credits. It's at the end of the credits of this. And that is why the video case box has New World International. I don't have the box. I'm holding it as if I had it. We'll fix that in post. We'll just put it right here on my hand. But anyway, that's why New World International is on the spine of the home video releases, which all debuted in October 23, 1998 in Canada. In Canada, they put together all of these different episodes and they released them in these movie forms on some of the themes that they were doing. They released it alongside Children of the Corn. 666 was also released at the same time. On October 23rd.
Same audience.
Yeah, same crowd. Also, the Blair Witch Project. So that's really, that takes you back, doesn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Right in time for Halloween.
Is there a Venn diagram where all that comes together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yes, there is. Ryan's just in the middle like,
Well, I mean, have I seen Children of the Corn 666? Yes, I have.
Have you seen Blair Witch Project? Yes, you have. Have you seen Spider-Man Secret Wars?
Yes.
Spider-Man Secret Wars? Yes.
They also released It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I saw that. I saw all of it. But it was a very top seller. It was on top seller for years. So, like, even in home video in Canada in 2001, according to the Expositor, the sales for Spider-Man Secret Wars is still number 6, right behind Gladiator in 2001. So this thing is selling like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so nostalgic.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And people were like loving that series. I think that animated series was huge for people. After Secret Wars is Princess Bride following. And then 8th is Spider-Man Sins of the Father. So... these video, they were just selling like crazy. People were loving them and catching up with the show. Maybe it wasn't totally you know, on repeat somewhere. So that is it. That is Spider-Man Secret Wars. Karen Gracci, thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, guys. This was so fun. I really enjoyed it. Oh, and thank you, studio audience. So good.
What do you got going on? What can help you plug?
My Adventures with Superman Season 3 drops June 13th on Adult Swim and HBO Max. So
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, let's go. And when does Green Lantern drop, or do you have a date yet?
No, probably next year. Next year. Good old animation takes a long time.
Certainly. Well, that is awesome. Everybody look out for that. Thank you, Karen. If you want to know more about us and you want to listen to our other episodes, including Spider-Man The Venom Saga, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find everything related to this podcast, including articles, interviews, episodes, t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. It helps support the show. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description.
Hello and welcome to Tumbleweeds and TV Cowboys. My name is Hunter. In this podcast, I'll be joined by a different guest each week to discuss a classic Western movie or TV show. I've been a fan of classic Westerns for as long as I can remember, and in recent years, they've become very nostalgic for me. I love the aesthetic, the tropes, and I love seeing different filmmakers' takes on them. At their best, they're incredibly entertaining, rewatchable, and some of my all-time favorite movies are Westerns. We'll mostly focus on Western movies made in Hollywood, but we'll also be covering spaghetti Westerns, and one thing I'm very excited to get into are Western TV shows. I've got some amazing guests coming on the show, film professors, historians, and podcasters, and Tumbleweeds and TV Cowboys is part of the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network, and many guests on the show will be from other shows on the network. Thanks for listening.